The Man in Line, brought to you by netzeromatrix.com, the world's leading carbon register and validation ecosystem.
Master Mike, good afternoon. 7 minutes after midday, you're on Man in Line through till one. Lines are open on 66 13 68. Text 166 177. Email studio at manxradio.com. WhatsApp on 166 177 as well. Just a quick word, if you're looking for a GP, a routine GP appointment this Wednesday, there won't be any Wednesday afternoon from 1 till 6. The GPs are attending their latest session regarding the transformation of the primary care services. So routine GP appointments not available 1 till 6 this coming Wednesday. If you need to see a doctor urgently, ring their surgery for an appointment with the on-call GP. There will be an on-call GP. Practices will remain open in the afternoon for patients to make future appointments and to order repeat prescriptions as normal. So just a quick word to the wise, this Wednesday from 1 until 6, routine GP appointments will not be available. I've got a text in. Thank you, G. You just said Lloyd's has had problems with the Ramsey Pharmacy, but apparently there are problems also in Onken. G just said anecdotal evidence. This is just an anecdotal message about things not being available, repeat prescriptions not available, and people told to come back, but prescriptions not ready. Wonder what that situation is. Let's go to lines. Buster's with us, first of all. Hi, Buster.
Hey, hi, Andy. How are you doing?
All right. Good, thank you. Yeah.
I just want to make a quick comment, actually. I was really disappointed yesterday. I was in the south, Grenaby and the Dip there, and they had some DOI contractors that were working on doing the junction towards Ballabeg there. And we're not that we're held up. I mean, I held up when I spoke to the guys. He said 5 minutes there. Walked away, went to tell the car behind me that we'd be 5 minutes just before we could get through on the road up to Ronagh there. And then just sat there in disbelief as a guy wound his window down in this van, contractor's van, and just threw a load of litter out into the undergrowth, into the countryside there.
You're joking.
Absolutely disgusted. I was incensed. And then the guy I was speaking to in the car behind, he said, I can't believe it. And he said, English plates. And they were a load of English contractors. And I was absolutely appalled. I was incensed. I must admit, I was absolutely incensed. And I went there, called him out, got the guy out of the van, told him to pick the litter up, and then told him in no uncertain terms that this isn't acceptable in the Manx countryside. And it seems that it's a team, contractors, DOI team from the UK that are over. Fair play, he picked the litter up. He could see I was really, really gnarled about it. And then put the litter back in the van. He apologised, shook my hand, and I said, look, you know, you have to understand that this is not how things are done over here. But when I came down from a bike ride from the Kringle later on, I stopped in that location, and just where the van was parked, sure enough, litter right on the verge there. And
what
all around.
What sort of litter was it?
It was crisp packets that this guy, I believe, had thrown out, that he picked up and got back in. But when I went round to that area afterwards, these guys, I saw one of the guys working on the machines just chuck something in the air, you know, litter-wise, as he was on one of the on the surfacing machines. So I stopped and checked around the area. There were, I think, 5 crisp packets, 3 cans, lunchtime wrappers of foodstuffs. It was just absolutely appalling. I couldn't believe to see it right, you know, right in front of my eyes with witnesses. You know, it was stunning.
And thereby defining the difference between the Isle of Man and everywhere else.
Yeah. I said, this is not the UK. You know, it's not England. I asked him where he's from because he didn't understand the word Manx when I used the word in Manx countryside and Manx this. And he said, I don't understand the word Manx. And that was when I suddenly realised that they were English contractors. Because I couldn't believe that, you know, our own DOI guys would even think of, dream of doing stuff like that. But, I mean, what worries me is that we've got contractors brought over here by the government, working for the government, doing a job, fair play, they, you know, did a job dressing the surface of the road there. But then when they walk away, I mean, who's going to pick up all this stuff and this litter?
You would have thought somewhere, that, you know, there'd be a piece of paper that says when you come over and you're a contractor for the DOI, these are things we don't do in the Isle of Man. One of them is chuck litter around willy-nilly.
Absolutely. And, you know, they walk away from the site going, job's done. I imagine the job is inspected, but I don't know whether, you know, the inspection of the area for what littering that may have happened or who then goes up in Maloo to go and clear this area up. I have no idea.
I wonder is there a bylaw in operation in Grenaby against littering?
I don't personally know. I imagine, well, I hope so. But, I mean, you know, I don't personally know.
I mean, the fact that you have to explain to an adult that you shouldn't be throwing litter into the countryside, I mean, that's the reason that England is knee-deep in litter and we're not.
Precisely. Absolutely precisely. And what, you know, it's so disappointing. Do you know what I mean? I was so disappointed when I then came back and the guy's machinery had all cleared away and walked around the area. I didn't pick the litter up. I left it there because I contacted Tim Glover, who's, you know, MHK for Maloo and the area. And he's also on the department of DOI. And he has forwarded my email to highways and such like. But, you know, at the present time, all I've got is, you know, we'll send out, you know, an email to contractors saying, you know, don't litter. But, you know, this is a specific team that are working at the present time. If anything from the experience of yesterday is to go by, wherever that team's working today, I imagine they'll be carrying the same sort of stuff out.
And we're bearing in mind that the number one agenda across the Western world is sustainability and green issues, surely litter plays a part in that?
Well, certainly does. I mean, next thing you know, the problem is this stuff, as we know, blows into the rivers. The rivers go out to the seas. You know, the whole thing, you know, just perpetuates, really.
Disappointing, I think, for a Sunday.
Hugely disappointing. Yeah, hugely disappointing. Yeah, I felt, you know, really let down, you know, especially as the guy shook my hand afterwards and apologised to me.
I wonder what he said when he got back in the van.
Yeah, precisely.
All right, thanks, Buster.
Okay, thanks, Andy. Thanks for hearing me out.
I appreciate that. It's 12:15 on Manx Radio. Thank you, Buster. And Julian's on now. Hi, Julian.
Hi, Andy. Yeah, that previous caller. Yeah, it reminds me, I think we had a conversation last year with all the secondhand masks that were appearing in all the gutters and inside buildings and all sorts.
You see, I just wonder what you have to say to somebody without sounding like a sort of preening, pompous prat. You know, why should one adult have to tell another adult not to drop litter? I just can't understand why some people simply don't understand that dropping litter is not really on.
No, I know. And, you know, in general, I mean, the island is pretty good, really. I mean, I think people have pretty much got the message. I mean, I think it's a minority. It's not a majority of people who do it because, you know, I go all over the island and it looks pretty good to me. You don't see, I can remember 30 years ago, seeing crisp packets knocking around and McDonald's empty containers and stuff. But you see them, but not as often as you used to do, I'd say.
No, and you just wonder, and I think that's possibly why it does stand out, that the vast majority of people understand that A, it's not a good idea, and B, you know, somebody's got to be paid to pick it up. C, it makes the place look lousy when you do it. So you just
you just
wonder, you know, what that is. And the other thing is, I mean, do people drop litter because they're looking for attention? Do they really want to, you know, arise out of other people? You just wonder what they think about.
I know, but it actually brings me on to the subject that I was going to talk to you about, which is freedom of speech, because, you know, you are entitled to pull people up on this. And after last week's chat that we had, and our June and my new fan, I thought I'd alter the trajectory slightly of what I was going to ring in about. Freedom of speech. It's been said that freedom of speech is our most important freedom, because it's the freedom by which we defend all of our other freedoms. So it's like a knock-on effect. But on the cover of a recent Manx Independent newspaper, I read hate crime laws are on the way. And I think Jane Poole-Wilson, our Justice and Home Affairs Minister, said, and I quote from what she said, "There is government appetite to introduce a specific hate crime bill here. Lots of work is going on behind the scenes to make it happen." And for my mind, hate speech laws are one of the biggest things. It makes Brexit look like a minor blip. So I would have thought a referendum would have been an absolute minimum, if not just to scrap the whole idea at the moment. But at the moment, we have plenty of discrimination laws to protect everyone equally. And, you know, we've mentioned this before, the Isle of Man Equality Act of 2017. We've got the Isle of Man Public Order Act, and specifically Section 3, which deals with harassment, alarm, distress. And then we've got loads of slander and libel laws as well. So I was thinking it might be better to try and exercise the existing laws more effectively rather than bringing in what you might say a draconian hate speech laws. And those hate speech laws are going to upend our democracy because it's going to force the majority to obey the minority. And democracy doesn't usually work that way, whether it's elections or anything else. I mean, you know, we normally, if there's 50 people in a room and one says no and 49 say yes, you wouldn't do it that way round by any stretch of the imagination. But the biggest question with this hate speech law that I'm thinking is, who defines what the hate is? And is it even definable? Is it an insoluble problem? Because you can never please all the people all the time. And, you know, when you need to solve difficult problems, you've got to be able to discuss issues that might be contentious. But hate speech law, from the word speech, says to me that it's compelled speech, and we've never had compelled speech in modern Western law systems before. And how often will those hate speech law goalposts be moved around if it's to suit a future political agenda? Because at the moment, there's plenty of laws that protect everyone equally. But the hate speech laws, it seems, are a consequence of what we've been putting up with political correctness culture for quite a long time now. And from my opinion is, it will be the final nail in the coffin of our most important right, which is the freedom of speech, which allows us to protect all our other speech and all our other rights.
How much of this do you think has been driven by social media and the web?
Yeah, I mean, you know, everybody's got a phone now and, you know, the message is getting through on different channels. But it seems to me that if you can't say certain things, and also the people that it's trying to protect, how are they going to navigate the world when everyone is sort of doing a dance around the words? You know, it becomes very difficult for the protected characteristic people to engage with other people, because it might just be avoided altogether because it's so difficult to try and get your head around how you're going to communicate with them without treading on one of the hate speech laws. And I think the hate speech laws, I mean, if you look at Norway, they introduced the same kind of hate speech laws recently last year. And there's an interesting case going on right now. As a feminist who's called Christina Ellingsen, which is Ellingsen, and she made a couple of comments on Twitter, and she said that men can't be women, men can't be mothers. And at the moment, she's facing 3 years in prison under the hate speech laws that have recently gone in. So there's these unintended consequences of going down the road of new laws. It just makes me wonder, do we need this, or is it better to just have all the laws that we've had in that have sort of, you know, gestated over many decades and hundreds of years that work perfectly well? We just need to exercise them better.
Interestingly also, as we live in a global village, the way that certain comments are based in certain cultures and countries can be diametrically opposed. I mean, what can be thought of as hate speech in one jurisdiction may be just common parlance in another,
or even our own language. I mean, you know, I would never stop anyone from coming on and talking. Bonzo, fantastic. He's very entertaining, obviously intelligent. I like hearing what he has to say. I don't always agree with him, but I'd fight tooth and nail to make sure that he can come on your program every day if he wants to. Not a problem. And the same with John. But John said that I was full of hot air. well, somebody else might take that to mean something very different from what I do. And, you know, I'm a big boy. I can handle it. Not a problem. And, you know, I'm not going to be on very long today. So perhaps John can come on and maybe give his opinion on this very subject. But it seems to me that it's an unnavigable channel. I mean, you know, it's too turbulent. It's too difficult. And all it's going to do is, to my mind, it's just going to allow perhaps a political agenda to be massaged by just moving the goalposts on a law that really doesn't have it's trying to solve a problem that isn't there, really. I mean, I don't think there is massive any kind of problem around hate speech on the island. It's not a huge, huge problem that everyone... I find the island very inclusive and tolerant, to be honest. I don't know. What do you think? I mean, you probably have more interactions with more people than I do.
I mean, I get called all sorts of things, Julian. It doesn't matter to me, to be quite honest. I was always told that sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. I was always also taught that civil discourse is the best way to resolve any matter, and that it is possible to agree to disagree. And I think if you start from those points, you can get through most situations. But we live in a different world now, particularly, I just mentioned, online, where people can say anything. People can create phantom identities and cause all sorts of problems. The other thing I'll mention about a possible hate speech law is it won't do the legal profession any harm, because there will be a lot of work in it.
Well, that's right. And I think the politicians that are doing this, I mean, I think Jane Paul Wilson by trade was a lawyer. I believe she did work for UBS Bank for quite some time in their legal departments to do with HR, I understand. So she has a legal mind. However, I think this takes away everybody's ability to express things that are important.
All right. We appreciate that, Julian. Thanks for calling today.
Thanks. Cheers.
All right. 24 minutes past 12. Your thoughts on that possible hate speech law on the Isle of Man? Is it needed? Do you want it? Do you think it's a good idea? Of course, once we get it, if suddenly the common view is that it's not a good idea, getting rid of a law is often a lot more difficult than actually passing one. I'd like to know what's happening with Manxgare regarding the closing of MIU in Ramsey yesterday. Surely, if Manx Care can't handle the medical nursing staff retention that MIU need to staff the Nobles Hospital, says Texter 169. Marie said, obviously now with this apology from the Chief Constable, will the Pride movement get on with their lives and move on? I witnessed something disgusting yesterday, says Texter 785. A member of a non-English food restaurant in Ramsey was sitting outside their establishment, having a cigarette, and spat on the pavement as I walked past. Unhygienic, unacceptable. Needless to say, I won't be dining there. What about the litter around where the UK workers are staying, regardless of all the COVID masks in rivers, the sea, and birds and nests? Could this be coincidentally the spread of bird flu? Any thoughts on that matter? And also a message in that just says, you want to see the litter thrown out of cars every evening at the breakwater by young people. This is a text of 174 who says, young people who gather around the breakwater in their cars. Police and harbours don't seem to be bothered. And of course, all that litter ends up in the sea. Also behind McDonald's, all the food wrappers go where? Straight into the river. Especially Friday and Saturday evening, and in the car park behind the quarter bridge as well. I really don't know what we do, 174. What do you say to people who couldn't care less about throwing litter? If you say don't throw litter, what do you think their first reaction would be? Exactly. So how do you appeal to someone's better nature if they don't have one? What exactly do you say to somebody who behaves in that way? Betty's on now. Hi, Betty.
Hi, Andy. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Okay, I'm glad. I just want to say that I agree with Julian about the hate crime thing. I'm particularly worried that what they're saying is that it should be what the person perceives, not what the person who said the thing intended. I think what the person intended should be certainly considered.
In what way? Do you mean that sometimes people take offence when none was intended?
Yes, they do. I haven't anything against people, and I usually say what I think. I'm not thinking particularly of myself, because these days, actually, I do tend to think before I say something, because of this, I feel that it is stopping free speech. I really think it is. The whole concept of that, and the whole concept of hate crime, takes me back to 1984. It'll be thought crime next, and we'll have loudspeakers telling us what we should say and what we should do and how happy we are. You know, it just really annoys me.
So, what's to do? I mean, do you think politicians understand this? Or, I mean, what would be a politician's agenda? I mean, obviously, Jane Poole Wilson says that there's a feeling for a hate crime law on the Isle of Man.
I don't believe there is. I think he's right. I think mostly people on the island are tolerant. I really do. I know that there are some cases where people of different cultures and colour are made to feel bad, and that is a shame. But it's very few. I just hate this. I wish it wouldn't go forward. I really wish it wouldn't go forward.
Just tell me, Betty, I mean, I don't want to appear flippant in this, but if I said to you, if you don't like it, there's a boat in the morning, could that be construed as hate speech?
It might be. I wouldn't construe it as hate speech. I'd probably just laugh. You know, people do say that all the time. And in a way, I can understand what they feel.
Okay. All right, Betty, we appreciate that. Thanks for calling today.
Okay.
Thanks. All right, good to talk to you. It's 29 minutes past 12. Peter's on Man in Line now. Hi, Peter.
Oh, hello, it's Peter Murcott here. Now, the first point I want to make is about this hate speech. You really need a full-blown programme on this. What I mean is the late Roger Waterson used to run programmes on matters of the moment, and excellent they were. So we can't just cover the subject in the time allotted here. So maybe that would be something for Manx Radio to think about. Whole question of hate speech, it's very dangerous. I'll just make one point, because, as I say, there's an hours-long discussion here. One of the problems is that people don't know their history. And in actual fact, the present constitutional order came into being in 1688 because of an ancient common law offence that caused all kinds of problems and went on doing so for quite a long time. It was called sedition, and that was the old common law version of hate speech. Now, originally, sedition, it was one of your four libels. You had obscene libel, blasphemous libel, you had defamatory libel, and you had seditious libel. And what the problem was, when you looked at it technically, it needed quite a high degree of proof. It was an offence that was on the road to treason, theoretically. And it was supposed to be something that was to raise either some sort of change in the constitutional order of the country, or to raise ill will between classes of Her Majesty's subjects. You see where you're coming to hate speech now. And there always had to be proof as well, which is absent from a lot of the modern hate speech ideas. You had to prove as well that there was an intention to stir up public disorder or violence. Now, what it degenerated into over the years was rather like the hate speech has gone in Britain. it degenerated into the idea of anything at all, which were, especially with the government, that governments found unlikable or inconvenient or embarrassing, was immediately charged with sedition. And it took a long time to get it out of the system. And unfortunately, history is not known. If only they read the annals of history, they'd see the great danger to democracy that the old common law discredited offence of sedition caused. Hate speech is causing exactly the same problem in Britain. And one of the reasons is, as I pointed out in a telephone call recently, is that the word hate is not defined, and hate is really at the very strong end of almost bordering on insanity, but it's not interpreted like that. It's interpreted as anything that somebody just happens to dislike. And it's rather akin, the way it operates is rather akin to the old Stalinist offence of an enemy against the people. You accuse someone of one or other of these so-called phobias that seem to be going around now, and just the very accusation of it is regarded by some almost as proof of guilt, if you know what I mean. And so in the old Soviet system, you only had to denounce someone as an enemy of the people, and they were almost certainly done for. And we're getting dangerously close to that in Britain, only it's coming by another route, and hate speech. And as I say, if they only read the history, they would find that it caused huge problems under the guise of sedition. And it's the old common law offence of sedition, just in a new dress.
Just one point, Peter, yep. Just regarding, you were talking about emotions. And
yep.
It seems that... Sometimes, and if you look at social media, it's absolutely full of it. Maybe that's one of the reasons for it, in that there are some people whose range of emotions are almost binary, in that it is either absolutely adoring something or literally hating it. And yeah. If people don't have a range of emotions and don't have, then they can be driven down that path of thinking something is either black or white. It's either extremely good or it's absolutely appalling. Someone is to be either lauded and deified or literally cancelled. And if that sort of lack of emotional range comes into the situation, I just wonder where we go.
Well, it will come in because it has done in Britain. I mean, you've just used the word, you know, about the cancel culture. Somebody, only very recently, there was a leading person who wanted to define what a woman was. He said that a woman was an adult female. Now, honestly, some folk, it seems, took huge exception to that, and they were going almost berserk about it. Now, the great danger is that you'll have a chilling effect. We've already got it, actually, a chilling effect on freedom of expression. And unless people simply recite the view that someone wants them to hold, which sounds dangerously like China and North Korea, they're regarded as hate speech. And that's why I am so against all these vague accusations of transphobia, homophobia, and any other phobia that you might like care to mention, because they are dangerously close to what happened in Stalinist Russia, in the so-called German Democratic Republic, and what still happens in China, where you're told what opinion you've got to hold and what view you've got to express. And it really means, what hate speech means in practice, and it's glaringly obvious from Britain, is I just don't happen to like your view, and you're not expressing a view that I approve of. So hate speech becomes disapproved of speech. And I shall personally use everything I can to try and dissuade the legislature for ever going down that very dangerous road.
OK, all right, Peter. Yep. Thanks for calling today.
Bye-bye.
Appreciate it. 24 minutes to one.
Hello, White Rabbit here. And I'm very excited for the Mad Hatter's Tea Party on Saturday and Sunday, the 13th and 14th of August. It's all taking place on a spectacular tram ride from Blacksea to Doon Glen, with an enchanting tea party show with treats galore and a treasure hunt. Call 662525 or visit rail.im to book.
These days, we know you can run your business from anywhere, and virtual meetings are fine, but there are times when you need to talk to someone face-to-face, especially when it comes to accountancy services. We also know that the Manx Mile is actually 3 normal miles, and if you live in the north, a trip down south can take all day. So now, Shim & Wilson has opened a satellite office in Ramsey for the convenience of clients in the north of the island. To arrange an appointment in Douglas or Ramsey, contact us online or call Shim & Wilson on 627744.
Just take a look at the menu at Port St. Mary Golf Pavilion. Lunch is served 7 days a week, and there's so much choice, whether you fancy a sandwich, a hearty meal, or coffee and homemade cake. Port St. Mary Golf Pavilion is a hidden gem tucked away down at Callow Point, where every visitor will receive a warm welcome, superb quality, and great value. For menus and opening times, visit their Facebook or click psmpavilion.im. Time for food, time to visit Port St. Mary Golf Pavilion.
Amazing is coming, and Shaw Ultrafast Fibre Broadband is the accelerator, creating a revolution in education, the fast lane to entertainment, so unmissable moments stay unmissable, and life is lived unlimited. Switch to Ultrafast Shaw Fibre Broadband and pay half price for the first 6 months. Save up to £543. T's and C's apply. See shaw.com/offers.
Join us live from the Ross Revenge this weekend as we commence our four-day fundraiser. We're raising funds for the Ross Revenge and also to run our 648 transmitter on solar power. Over the weekend, we'll play music from the top 500 requested songs from the top 15s, and the entire weekend is sponsored by FSN News. That's coming up this Friday, the 12th, the 13th and 14th of August, live from the Ross Revenge and with Manx Radio.
1368 AM.
The Man in Line, brought to you by NetZeroMatrix.com. Helping Isle of Man companies and citizens to understand net zero targets and a green future.
21 minutes before one on Manx Radio. And have you heard of anybody who's been sanctioned under the hosepipe ban? Anybody been done yet? I was checking the levels of the reservoirs a while ago. They seem okay at the moment, but any transgressors? Anybody been dobbed in for using a hosepipe? I'm just asking, that's all. Skeet and all that. Bonzo's with us. Hi, Bonzo.
Hello there. Yes, listening to stuff today, it takes me back to a long, long time ago in the land before time when I was studying philosophy as a student. And yes, this was the sort of meat and drink of the ethics course, which was part of it. Yes, when we're talking about things like to use this slightly umbrella term, hate speech. The reason that we have laws to protect against such things is to protect against what has been termed the tyranny of the majority, so as to defend minority rights. Now, we can go back, let's say, 30 years ago, 35 years ago, it was perfectly acceptable to speak hatefully of gay people on the island. It was perfectly acceptable for the police apparently to harass them and to arrest them on any pretext and blackmail them, essentially into giving evidence against and intelligence against other gay people who they might know. That's the kind of tactics of Nazi Germany. And when talking about hate speech, it reminds me of 1984. Well, actually, it reminds me of 1934. It reminds me of Mosley and the black shirts, and it reminds me of Hitler. So, that's the reason why we have these measures. Now, how far then do you go? And yes, I do agree with Julian on this bit, in that road can be paved with very good intentions. And one of the things that you are taught as a civil servant when you're sorting out things like primary and secondary legislation in policy is the law of unintended consequences. It is extremely easy to make things that you have the noblest of intentions for, which then can go frighteningly wrong. And this is where the issues of hate speech start to become very, very complicated. And, of course, it's even more complicated now in the social media world, because once upon a time, people would publish these things on pamphlets, and then they would be legally liable for these things. Nowadays, everyone is their own publisher. So you push your opinions on the internet. Very few people seem to be their own editor when they do it. So it's put online in a sort of personalised and emotive way, by and large, without any editorial, without any editorial sieve.
And I think, Bonzo, at the same time, you also have the inexorable decline of the press and the fact that long-form journalism now has an absolute fraction, maybe a tenth, possibly less, of the traction that it had 20 years ago. Newspapers are largely on the way out, and many, many people don't read long-form journalism and get their news and opinion in 80 characters.
Well, not only that, they don't read very much in the form of curated journalism at all. What they have are various opinions which are placed up without any without any editorial process, to compare sources, etc., and verify various things.
Bonzo, do you think there's a need for a hate speech law on the Isle of Man?
I can see the legal issue of, because although there are other laws that that can protect in various ways, you then get the problem of what do you prosecute it under. If you've got five or six various laws, then you have to then it can sort of fall between the stools. So how are you then going to prosecute it, rather than under something which defines what you mean by hate speech, and then puts in there, defines the term, then defines circumstances in which the actions can happen, and prohibits those, and provides a legal sanction and redress for it.
And just finally, Bonzo, the fact that there is no win, no fee system on the Isle of Man. No win, no fee is illegal on the Isle of Man. So who's going to be able to afford to go to law?
Well, that's an issue with the current system, whereby, yes, you have libel, etc., but you have to make the actions for it, whereas with it actually codified in criminal law, it is something that then the criminal law can act upon and act as a... and the criminal law can act as a deterrent and a defence.
Okay. All right, Bonzo, thanks for calling today.
I can't know at all.
Appreciate that. And John's with us on Man in Line. Hi, John.
Hi, Andy. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Yeah. Andy, I'll try and make this as quick as I can. It's not actually the law, the hate law in itself, that's the problem. It's the interpretation of it. We seem to be living in really scary times at the moment where a person can't have a view. And I'm not talking about a view that would cause distress to another person. I'm talking about a normal view. Our rights as citizens are being curtailed day in and day out. The police seem to be getting more power and more power. It really is scary what's happening, to a point where you really have to watch what you're saying now. You haven't got a view. And if you have got a view, be very careful, because you're going to end up in court. It's the interpretation of the law that's deemed with one police officer, and if he takes it the wrong way, you're in court. That's the bit I don't like. We really are living in a draconian state at the moment.
Do you think the Isle of Man needs a hate speech law, John?
Sorry?
Do you think the Isle of Man needs a hate speech law?
I think we've got more than enough adequate laws to protect every citizen. This seems to be giving the wrong people too much power.
Okay, all right, we appreciate that. Okay, good to talk to you. Thanks for being with us today. It's 14 minutes before 1. Call 66 13 68. Email studio@maxradio.com. Text 166177, or you can text 166177 on the WhatsApp.
It's a tough time for businesses. Not sure what to do to turn things around? Let Nicola Bowker & Co. guide you through. We've helped hundreds of businesses to success. Accountants and tax advisors to businesses on the Isle of Man.
No setup hassles, no worries about data usage. Discover home Wi-Fi that just works with Manx Telecom's new best ever fibre broadband plans. You'll get a new router and Wi-Fi extender to boost coverage, expert installation, plus ongoing remote support to diagnose and fix any problems. And unlimited data. Move to a faster future with Manx Telecom fibre broadband. Visit manxtelecom.com/fibre now to get started.
Lifestyle Furniture is at the Royal Show. Pop to our stand and enjoy up to 50% off our stunning outdoor furniture collection. Plus, we'll have a range of smaller gift ideas. Lifestyle Furniture. Join us at the Royal.
EPS just finished painting our house and we're delighted with the result.
Very impressed with the speed, quality and standard of work.
We would recommend EPS highly.
House looks like new.
Brilliant job from start to finish.
EPS, transforming properties island-wide with a revolutionary Protex wall covering system. Guaranteed for 10 years. Visit eps.company for details. There's a waiting list, but it'll be worth it.
A good job well done.
Thank you, EPS.
Come along to the Royal Manx Agricultural Show. See the best livestock on the island, meet friends, and enjoy 2 days of great fun for everyone. With sheepdog trials, the Land Rover display team, Meg Lamb competition, arts and crafts, and so much more. Come to Knockalo Farm Patrick to see the Royal Manx Agricultural Show on Friday the 12th and Saturday the 13th of August. In association with Manx Telecom and supported by your nation station, Manx Radio.
It's Tuesday at 6 o'clock here on Manx Radio. Join Kiri Kermode and myself, Simon Clark, for Countryside.
I get a preview for the Royal Manx Agricultural Show from Carol Kenyuk, and I also catch up with the Federation of Young Farmers.
And I went along to the 74th Sulby Horticultural Society's show.
That's all in Countryside, Tuesday here on Manx Radio at 6 o'clock. And don't forget, you can download or subscribe to the podcast for free at manxradio.com.
The Man in Line, brought to you by netzeromatrix.com. The Isle of Man's main net zero progress website.
11 minutes before one. Darren's on now. Hi, Darren.
Hi, how are you doing? You all right?
Good, thank you.
Well, first of all, I'll make an observation before I make my point, if that's okay. There's been a lot of people on, and they've been making very, very valid points about how they feel about hate law and hate law legislation. I'm glad Bonzo came on. Very good. He did sort of clarify that there are areas where the existing laws don't cover effectively what we need. There have been incidents on the Isle of Man. I don't know if they're covered by other laws, but they've been very difficult hate incidents already. The point I want to make is everybody has the ability, has the facility to actually be involved in the discussion in these, the creation of these laws. There's the police inclusion group, which basically, the police talk with members of the public. Sarah Maltby is the chairman of the committee, and they discuss the need and how these things should be carried out. So the public do have a lot of access to the process before it gets into the lawmakers. And I think if people do have an issue, contact Sarah Maltby, contact police headquarters, or contact government officers, and ask to be part or at least privy to the discussions.
What's that called again?
It's the Police Inclusion Group. It's been going for a number of years. Yeah, it's been going for a number of years now. Every year they send a message out to the public for anyone who wants to be involved. And I mean, it covers a good number of subjects.
Okay. Any personal opinions on the hate speech law, Darren?
I do agree with some of what a lot of people are saying is that there are a lot of people around who are looking to be upset. Be that online or be that in person. I have experience of that. My family have experience of that, and I know other people do. However, whether you see it or not, there is a lot of bigotry on the Isle of Man. I talked to a number of different groups. I'm involved with community development. I talked to a number of individuals. And there's a lot of things said and done which could be covered by hate crime laws. I think the police do have a difficulty in enforcing some of that, as Banzo said, because it kind of falls through the gaps. A clarification on hate crime is not just taking offence because somebody said something. It is actually something with intent. Generally, that's what they're looking at. I think, yeah, we need to be discussing it. At the very least, we need to be discussing it. I personally think there needs to be some clarification, but at least have the discussions.
All right, Darren, thanks for calling.
No worries.
All right, good to talk to you. Patrick's with us now. Hi, Patrick.
Okay, Andy. I was at the Peel Carnival yesterday. I took an old person from the nursing home down in a handicapped vehicle. There was no parking spaces in the handicapped areas. I parked on yellow lines on the quayside, well, where the ramp is, no, not anybody's way. And even though it was a handicapped blue badge vehicle, they still got booked, which I think is a bit unfair.
They got booked?
Oh, I got booked, yes. Yeah. And to me, it was strange because the area over by the old swimming pool where the handicapped parking is, this was at 1 o'clock before the carnival. I mean, the carnival's 3 o'clock. That road was closed off. And to me, I just can't understand the give and take with the police now is ridiculous, really. I mean, I don't mind paying the fine, but the lady who I took, who's 83 years old, she was upset the fact that I got booked. 88, sorry. She was 88. 88 years old. So to me, I can't. A big sign on the back of the vehicle, please leave room for the trolley. But they still put a penalty on it. Unbelievable.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Thanks for reporting that today, Patrick.
Oh, sure. Bye now.
All right. Good to talk to you. Social media companies, says Julian, hide behind an indemnity clause called Section 230, which written media like newspapers don't enjoy. If you get rid of Section 230 protection, Twitter and people like that will have to start behaving better. If you're not involved in the media, this will bore you rigid. But inside the media, there's a really big discussion between the online giants like Google, the people who own Twitter and stuff like that, in that they simply don't regard themselves as publishers. And a publisher is an entity which creates, as in Manx Radio is a publisher, it creates content that goes to the public. It's permitted to be written, publia. And the whole issue is that the traditional media, if you were, things like Manx Radio, the other radio stations on the Isle of Man, the newspapers, are governed by law, statute, law, as to what we can and cannot do and can and cannot say. So we have to abide by, typically, the laws of libel, the laws of obscenity. Now, if you're online, it doesn't matter that you could sit in a bedroom in Laxey. If the server is in California or Kazakhstan, bluntly, you can say what you want because it's not regulated. The crunch is coming where this will, at some point, will have to be addressed. But hitherto, the giant internet companies and the content companies that aggregate people like Alphabet, who own Google, simply don't want to do it. Which is why they aggregate content from newspapers around the world, put it out as their own under the heading of news, and don't pay a penny piece for it, unless certain territories have enforced legislation. In Australia, the Australian government has forced people like Google to pay a royalty to the newspapers that aggregate the news. And the whole point about internet and online versus traditional media is one that will only get more heated, really. And in the middle of it, you may not even be aware of it, is you, the listener, the consumer. It depends where you want to get your news from in the future. I've mentioned many times, and I take absolutely no pleasure in it whatsoever, but the newspapers are dying. Magazines are dying. Newspapers across and around the world that sold hundreds of thousands of copies a day are now selling 10, 15,000 copies a day. Now, what that will mean in the future, well, we don't know. because nobody can foretell the future. What a fascinating interaction today regarding hate speech, free speech. And if you want to follow it up, by all means, you can email maninline@maxradio.com. You can leave a comment on the answer phone on 682-631. We're back with an open line tomorrow and live on Friday from the Royal Manx Agricultural Show in the sunshine at Knockalo in Patrick. Thanks to producer Ben Hartley today. I'm Andy Wint, wishing you the best of the rest of your Monday. WINT.